Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Let me go to Keith Rabin, former Fingal councillor. Keith.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
How are you doing? Keith, I read your tweet today about your dad. So let me just say, I suppose the best thing to do is explain it in your own words, what actually happened to him. And first of all, how old is he again? 72 years of age. All right. And is he in good health and everything else? Would he be?
No, he's in desperate health, actually. I don't think he'd mind me saying he basically has what they call end-stage emphysema, which is the very, you know, we're getting bad at this stage.
But my mum had it, yeah, so he'd be on oxygen all the time.
Yeah, he lives effectively on inhalers and oxygen, and he couldn't walk 20 feet, really.
Without
having to stop.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. He does the stairs kind of three steps at a time, and then he stops for a while, and that kind of stuff, you know.
So he's not in good health.
He's not in good health. He's only 5'7". He weighs about 8 stone. Like, he's a small man, you know. And so he lives alone. And so basically yesterday I was speaking to him, and he told me that on Monday a guy had turned up at the door and said the guttering was hanging off the side of the house. And my dad has been aware that there's a leaking gutter at the side of the house for a while. And the guy said, look, I'm working across the road. I just noticed it. And since I'm here and I'm with the lads and with the ladder, I'll get up and fix it for you if you want me to for 70 quid.
Right. So your dad thought this was an okay deal.
My dad said, "Right, this is great. I've been meaning somebody to come around and fix this. And this guy's obviously just spotted it because he's across the road. Brilliant." So my dad said he heard the ladder hit the side of the house, and he said, and literally he said 2-3 minutes later, the doorbell went again. He opened the door, and there was a different guy there this time. And he kind of realized he was in a bit of trouble because the guy said to him, "Right, that's €450."
So it just went. The price just went up.
And he said, no. He said, I was dealing with your friend. It's €70. And he said, no, €70 is the deposit. And he got really aggressive.
Oh, no.
And then he turned around and he said, lads, this guy's not paying. So then.
And your father obviously felt very intimidated now at this stage.
Incredibly.
And how many of them was there?
So there were three guys then bundled into the porch in the front hall. And they all started kind of roaring at him and saying
this poor little old man, essentially, and I'm not insulting your dad, sorry, Keith, but this poor little old man, you know, 72 years of age, who visibly obviously doesn't look the best of health.
No. It's a slight man, They were doing exactly what they were doing. And
bullies.
As it turns out, they didn't fix the guttering at all. The whole thing was a scam. They weren't working across the road. It was a complete scam.
I know there's more to the story, we're going to come to it in a second, but could he describe them if he saw them again, or did he have any idea?
I've asked him that, and the problem now is that the more I ask him about it, the more he realises that I want to make a bit of a deal about this.
And he's embarrassed, is he?
He's mortified. He's so embarrassed that he thinks he was conned, and he feels like a fool, and he said, I'm not going to make a big deal of this, and... You know, and I don't want you making a big deal of this. And I said, I'm going to go to the guards. And he said, I'm not going to talk to the guards. And, you know, and I'm afraid they're going to come back and put my windows in. And anyway, and so he's getting into a complete tizzy about this. So now he won't even answer my questions about it.
So they all start bullying him at the front door. These three of them at this stage bullying him at the front door. This poor little old man. And he hadn't got the money.
He doesn't have a whole lot of money.
So they wanted 450 at this stage.
Yeah, 450. He said he doesn't have any money. And rather. So... They got to get really aggressive, and they were saying, right, you're getting into the van with us, and we're bringing you to an ATM.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he was, like, completely bewildered and just, you know, over.
He was obviously terrified.
Yeah. So he went out, he got into the van with them, they drove him up to the village, and he lives in Finglas, and he got €450 out. Now, he had €570 in his account.
Like, so that was essentially all he had.
So he gave him €450 and they left him on the side of the road. Now, I'll just remind you, he can't walk 20 feet.
So they didn't even bring him home again.
Right. So they just left him there. So I'm just enraged. I mean, I'm just... Well,
I can only imagine if that was my mum or dad, sadly they passed away many years ago, but if that was that my mother had emphysema, so I know exactly what you're talking about and how it can affect somebody. And I would be horrified if that happened. I'd be out looking for them.
Well, he's just he is very vulnerable. And and what really gets me is they knew. Like, they really knew.
Of course
and
they did.
I think, and they kind of targeted him because he was vulnerable. So these heroes that are out there, like, they wouldn't even take on, you know, a man in his kind of hale and hearty in the fit of his health. They picked on a really vulnerable kind of older man and who lives alone. And they just, you know, that's the bit that just makes me just think these guys are, Like, they're subhuman. Like, they're sociopaths. They really are.
And were they Irish?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah,
I mean,
they are Irish. They basically, what happened was the first guy who came appeared to be just a guy from a Dubliner and whatever. My dad was, you know, getting on with him. He was a youngish guy. He was about 30 and he was kind of getting on with him.
So he was obviously the nice guy to gain his trust, yeah.
Yeah, and he was kind of all yappy and chatty and whatever. But the guy who knocked on the door second, the band of the 450 euro and then all of them bundled into the hall, he was a traveller.
Okay, so they're members of the travelling community.
And my dad knew then that he was in trouble because the first guy, he wasn't a traveller. Well, if he is, he certainly had a Dublin accent or whatever. And the second guy, he knew him easily as a traveller. The other guy, he was shouting at him as a traveller. So he kind of knew that... I mean, look,
this is a common scam, the gutter scam, where they go around pretending to clean your gutters. And normally they come back down and they say, oh, while we were up there, we noticed two of your slates are cracked, which they cracked themselves.
My dad wouldn't be a fool. And this is what really galls him. This is what really gets him. He's not a fool. You know, he's not somebody who would be taken in lightly. I can't remember him ever being conned before. But... it's just because he's in the situation he is, he wasn't thinking really clearly. And he didn't, he says to me, and I'm like, okay, people will give out about this, but he says that, like, you know, had the guy come up and he'd been a traveller, he would not have engaged it because he knows this is a known traveller scam of going up the gutters and doing this stuff. He wouldn't have done it. But because the second guy who came in, he realised he knew what would happen, and then he was just absolutely appalled at himself for being conned. But at that point then, I mean, I don't blame him at all, but he's...
No, I mean, if you've got three lads selling your porch and you're 72 years of age and you're in bad health and you're only 5 foot nothing and a slip of the thing...
Like, he blames himself about this now, which is the most amazing thing. And I keep kind of saying to him, like, it's not your fault. And, you know, and he says, I was such a fool and, you know, I should have done this and I should have done that. But, I mean, we all think of the things we should have done afterwards. You know?
Yeah. Did they get out of the van at the ATM machine?
I don't know. See, now I'm asking the questions about the colour of the van and all that. He won't...
No, because somebody's just texted in and says, could they use the CCTV at the ATM machine?
Yeah, no, I said that to the guard. I rang the guard today myself. I just said, no, feck it. I'm too enraged at this. And also, I want them to be aware that it's going on in the area. So, I mean, even though my dad is not going to do anything, he won't cooperate with them, I want them to be aware. So the guard said, look, there probably is CCTV, if not at the ATM nearest, we'd get the reg. And all that. I said, but my dad is not going to engage in this because, number one, he's petrified. He thinks that if he does press charges, they'll be back to him. And number two, he's mortified. So
he's embarrassed, of course he is.
He's kind of saying, look,
I feel sorry for him, Neil, or Keith. I feel really sorry for him, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just...
almost every penny the man had, for God's sake, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, he's not, like, he literally lives on a state pension, so, like, yeah. this is not, and again, he's from it's a three-bed semi-house in Finglas, and it's a very ordinary kind of community, and it's not a wealthy community, and they went into that community knowing the kind of person they were likely to find there, and hitting them with a 450 euro bill. You know, they knew very well that was going to be an enormous amount of money for anybody living in that area. So these are not people who are targeting, you know, as I said, healthy people in wealthy areas, and they have some kind of, like, Robin Hood mentality. Nothing to do with that.
These cowards, I mean, if that had been a big 6'2" guy, you know, and 30 years of age, these cowards wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have even chanced it. But they will pick on older people. They do it all the time. If it's not tarmac, it's gutters, or it's your chimneys, you want your chimney cleaned, or whatever it is. It's the same scam all the time, and there's always the same result. They'll promise you a price of 50 or 60 quid just to get you to get them to do it. As soon as they get up there, they crack a few tiles on the roof, usually, and come back down and tell you you've broken tiles and you have to get them fixed. And then before you know it, some poor, you know, old man or old woman has a bill of 400 or 500 euro. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. Yeah, but what's worse is that they took this man. I mean, literally, I'm not going to say against his will, because I know it's embarrassing for him that he actually went, but he was terrified. That's why he went.
No, I think if you intimidate somebody to the point where they're in fear for themselves and you put them in a van and take them away somewhere, like, that to me is kidnapping. I mean,
fair enough,
he willingly got into the van. But I mean, you know,
but he didn't really have a choice.
You're under coercion, and you have no choice. I don't think that's willingly getting into a van.
No. He didn't have a choice, because if they're in the porch and they're bullying him for this money and telling him they want to bring him to an ATM machine, he's thinking to himself, if I don't go, they're going to do something to me here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he fell one time in the house, and he couldn't really get up, and he was found a while later, and that terrified him that he couldn't get up. And he was afraid that if they hit him, he'd fall down and he wouldn't be able to get up. So that's why he said, well, I thought at the very least, if they're going to hit me outside the house, somebody might see me. So that's why I left the house. So, like, this is the kind of mentality that was running through him. And, like, it just, as I say, I just feel so angry, like, so enraged that, you know, that they would pick on him like this, you know?
So you went down to the guards yourself anyway, and what did the guards say? They're going to
Well, I rang them. I actually rang them this afternoon. And
okay,
I said, look, here's the situation, blah, blah, blah.
And by the way, can I ask you, you said it happened on Monday, and he didn't tell you till today. He was embarrassed.
And he also didn't tell my other two brothers. I told my brothers today. And I assumed that he told them.
He didn't.
And he didn't. He said, and I said, well, what's going on? And he said, I don't mind you telling anybody. Because he's just so embarrassed, you know? I don't know.
I get it. I do get it. You know what I mean? That he's humiliated by it.
By the way,
I'm just looking at a text here. Colin the Milkman, who texts the show on a regular basis, is not, if it's possible, I'd like to give that man the 450 back. you're a wonderful man, Colin. Thanks very much.
No.
But he says, I'm hopping mad listening to this. Yeah. I'm going to the funeral, he says, of three children in my town in Ratcool. Tomorrow morning, where the whole community is devastated. I'm helpless to do anything in my community tomorrow other than offer support, but this is just too much, and an old man to be taken advantage of like that.
Yeah, look, I mean, I really appreciate what your listener said there, but myself and my brothers have already kind of, you know, recompensed him and sorted him out, so he's okay for his money. So,
thanks very much, Colin.
I really appreciate that, but it's more, I suppose the reason I'm speaking to you is twofold. Number one, I just really want people to be aware that this is a scam that goes on, and you need to be just very, I know it's terrible to be.
Yeah, and I was going to say it's in the Finglas area, but look, they're doing it everywhere.
On Twitter today telling me that there were two cases of the same scam in Stillorgan only last week.
I had a guy call to my door 2 weeks ago, Thursday afternoon, and he came to my door. Again, it was the gutters. Your gutters look dirty. Would you like me to clean them?
Yeah.
And I said, you're grand. Because I don't think he would have chanced his arm at me. Now, I'm not saying I'm a big fella or anything, but he knows I'm probably a bit more sensible.
I think what they do is they just knock door to door until they hit somebody who's vulnerable. Yeah. I think, you know,
and it was the same line, by the way. I was in your area and I noticed. It's always the same line, you know. I was in your area. And
I think because they said to him they were across the road and one of our neighbours doing the same thing. He trusted. Oh well, if Fran is okay about it, I must be okay. But you know, so that's a good tactic for them to use to get together.
By the way, can I point out there probably is some genuine people going around cleaning gutters? So
yeah, of course.
I want to be careful and say that, you know, be they members of the travelling community or settled community, there probably is some genuine people. But it was your father did identify these as members of the travelling community, and the very fact that the very fact they were in his porch berating him and bullying him, to me that's a criminal offence in itself. It's intimidation.
Yeah, like it's just, I don't know, I feel as though we're almost at the stage now where, like, obviously I'm quite emotional and angry about this now. But at the same time,
I'd want to kill somebody, that was my father.
But it's almost like we're not allowed to say that. I said this on Twitter today, like I said, like, we're, you know, three members of, as I put it, our indigenous nomadic tribe, because I don't even know whether I'm allowed to say the word traveller would get in trouble.
It's a fact. The fact of the matter is, they happen to be members of the travelling community. I don't think there's anything wrong with identifying that fact.
People know this is a very common problem.
Yes.
It's a statement of fact. And then I had people on Twitter saying, I shouldn't have even said that. I'm like,
why not?
We have a guy who was chopped up and put in a bag in Coolock. And one of the gangs involved in that is a travelling gang, and we're not allowed to talk about that either.
Yeah.
There's
no harm. I mean, I find it bizarre that we've become so politically correct. And I'll give you another example. There was a story in one of the online, the Metro with the Journal, I can't remember, last year. And it was a young girl, she was 15 years of age, and she'd gone missing, which was very sad, right? And there was a picture of her. And it says, Gardaí described the girl as last seen wearing a blue jumper. She's about 5'1". Da, 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 da. And I'm going, are they not going to say she's black?
Yeah.
Well, are they almost afraid to say? I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying she's black.
No.
Because it helps people to identify the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but these are physical descriptions that can help identify people. You know,
yes.
I mean, we've become so PC and correct that we're getting to the stage now where we're denying reality.
That doesn't mean that every traveller is the same. It just means that these particular travellers were conning your father and berating him and bullying him at the door. And to be honest with you, you're absolutely right. It's almost like kidnapping a man.
Like, I mean, I grew up in Finglas, obviously. And in my school, there were travellers who were staying who lived in the local traveller halting site and played football, got on well, had no problems. I mean, I would consider those guys pals from school. That's actually no issue. That's not the issue. The issue is that these guys were nasty fuckers, if you don't mind me saying it.
Yeah.
And they just happened to be crappy members of that community. And there's no point in denying that the, you know, crappy members of that community don't exist.
Well, look, there's a problem within the community. And I know we've spoken to Martin Collins before about this from Pavy Point. And, you know, the travelling community themselves will admit there's a problem within the community. And that problem needs to be weeded out so as we can, so all the stigma stops, so as people stop referring to travellers in general in the general sense. Because most travellers are not bad people. Yeah. But unfortunately, there are individuals who are involved in crime, are involved in these kind of scams, these door-to-door scams. If it's not gutters, it's tarmac or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, it has to stop.
Well, you're not going to stop it if you don't acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step,
yeah.
You know. And okay. So that's basically where, you know, I'd really just want to come on this evening just to point out to people this scam is going on.
Okay.
You really need to be aware of it. And
okay.
That's kind of where I want to go with that.
Okay, well, I hope your dad is okay. And I hope, you know, that he talks to the police. I know, I can understand why he's afraid. I do understand, because he was obviously terrified on Monday. So he's probably even more afraid now if he says something that something will happen to him. And I understand that. And he's unwell. And by the way, I wish him well. I hope, you know,
yeah.
I understand emphysema is not something that's curable, but certainly I hope he has a reasonably few more years left in him anyway.
I appreciate that. You're very good.
All right, Keith. Listen, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks very much.
There you go. Keith Redmond, former Fingal councillor. And that's a shocking story, isn't it? Can you imagine your mum or dad being berated in their porch and ballyragged for €450 by three members of the travelling community, and then taking them out of the house, but putting them in their van and bringing them down to an ATM machine to get money out? Somebody says, no, it's irrelevant if they're travellers. It's not irrelevant. That's how you identify them. So, you know, if it's a case that the Gardaí are going to investigate it, well, it narrows it down, doesn't it? You know, it's like saying, I don't know, they were French. If they happen to be French, you narrow it down by they had black hair. You know, they were 6 foot tall. It's part of identification, isn't it? But Jesus Christ, political correctness be arse. These individuals took this poor man and then left him. A man with emphysema who can barely walk 10 yards without getting out of breath. I remember my own mother, she passed away from emphysema many years ago. But for 15 years of her life, like that, she had oxygen. It ended up my father used to have to push her around in a wheelchair and she had an oxygen machine in the wheelchair. She couldn't walk more than 4 or 5 foot and she'd be completely out of breath. Her lung capacity was down to 30%. And I'm just saying, imagine taking a man and then leaving him in the middle of the village to make his own way home. A man that's completely unwell. Absolute bastards. That's what they are. Bastards. And if anyone knows who these individuals are, please report it to Finglas Garda Station if you know who these individuals are. There was three of them. He said one of them did have a Dublin accent, but the other two were very clearly travellers. And they were obviously friends or whatever, working together. The younger one, the better spoken of the three of them, he's certainly the less aggressive, he said, came over and said that he would do it for €70. And then no sooner said than that, done, 5 minutes later, they were looking for £450. So if anyone's aware of who they might be, please get on to us. If you want it, we'll pass the information on to Keith or get on to Finglas Garda Station. And let them know. Maria, you're on Classic Hits. Hey, Maria.
Hi. Niall?
Yes.
Hi. This is my very first time. I listen to you all the time, but I've never been on, so I'm a bit nervous.
No, don't be nervous. I'm like your best friend, Maria.
And I have a sore throat. I'll make it quick. That story there just moved me, and it rang alarm bells, because last year the exact same thing happened to my brother.
Oh, no.
He has special needs and he lives beside me. And I just happened to accidentally arrive and heard him saying that he didn't have any money to this man. So I went and asked what was going on. When the man saw me approaching, he got back in the van. I asked my brother. He said, these men told me that they were working next door and that there was a problem with my roof, my gutters, and that it would be €70 or €80 that I would need to get done, because if I didn't, it could cause an accident and he would be in trouble. So my brother told them that he didn't have any money on him. And he said, well, just go and have a look. And my brother went in. No matter how many times we tell him not to open, he opened the door. And when I arrived, one of those three men were attempting to go into my brother's hallway.
Oh, no.
I immediately rang the guards here in Cork. I gave the registration. It was a blue big van with three men. I do believe they were travellers. I'm not picking them. There are other people who do it as well. But I do believe that these three men were an organised gang of travellers. When I rang the guards, they told me I'd have to come over and make a statement. And I said I'd no problem with that. But I wanted them to come out now while they were still in the area. And they wouldn't. So I went over there. I was furious. And they told me that the guard at the desk was able to tell me that the number I had given and the description I gave, they're a well-known traveller gang and they're up and down the country doing exactly the same thing to the vulnerable people.
So the van was a blue van?
It wasn't a Hiace. It was like a Ducata or something like that.
Okay,
you know?
All right, okay.
It was navy blue.
You know your vans, right? Okay, yeah.
No, I was so furious.
Of course, you were trying to take mental notes of everything. And with the registration, and don't give it to us on the air, okay? But was it an English or an Irish registration?
Right, no. To be honest, right now, I can't remember that.
Okay.
But what I will tell you is that I distinctly got the registration. I was standing in front of the van. And when they saw me watching the number, they took off. Now, when I gave those details to the guards, they were immediately able to tell me that they would send out, what did they call it, an APB across to all units, that if they came across this van, they would be stopped and what have you.
Okay.
I would like you to tell that chap that you had on there.
Keith, yeah, he's probably still listening, yeah.
Right, that report from me should be
on the Pulse system, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they should have Inspector Barry McPollin is the man here in Anglesey Street. And I'm quite sure he's a very, very helpful man. And I'm almost certain that's what drove me to ring you.
I know, it's infuriating, isn't it? It's infuriating to listen to.
And when I heard about the poor sick man being left on the side of the road, if I hadn't come on the scene, and it was a miracle, that man was gone into my brother's house. He was halfway in, and God only knows what he would have done to him inside in the house.
No, it was just so lucky you came when you did, because I'm pretty sure they probably would have went into the house.
He was halfway in.
Yeah.
So that's why I...
And again, they took advantage of somebody that was in a vulnerable situation. You mentioned your brother has special needs, so he's in a vulnerable situation,
right,
you know.
But what I want to get across to you now, Niall, I said it to the lady there, Aisling. My worry is that they must be going around and they must be watching houses, the comings and goings of who's coming in and coming out, because that man was living alone. My brother is living alone. And how do they know this? They must be coming out in the day and the night, parking and watching who's coming in and out of the houses.
So they're looking for vulnerable people.
And
yes.
That's the most sinister part for me.
Somebody else mentions here, Niall, a couple of lads doing the same thing last week in Ballyfermot, driving an English Reg Toyota. And that's why I asked you, by the way, was it an English Reg?
I can't remember, was it a Limerick or a Dublin Reg?
Oh, yeah.
But all I know is that Inspector McPollin at Anglesey Street Guard Station is a very helpful man. And I made that report. I'll give you my name and address if you want it.
Well, not on the air, don't.
No. But you can ring me and I will give you. And that would be on their computer there. And they would have the number of that van.
Right, okay. Well, if Keith's still listening, maybe they are a gang that go up and down the country, as I said.
They
go from Dublin to Cork and everywhere else doing it.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
And the guards were able to tell me
who they were. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd obviously had numerous reports about the same gang before.
Yeah, but they're still operating.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, it seems so. You heard the €450 they got him to take out of the bank.
But what really struck me there, because to tell you the truth now, it's not a good time for me to be on the radio. I have a bit of laryngitis. But when that man was speaking, first he said about the €70 and the gutter. Then he said about they were walking across the road.
Yeah, the same line, MO, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And I thought, my God, it's the same gang.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Listen, thank you very much indeed for sharing that with us. And I'll pass your information on to Keith if he wants it. And
if you want to ring me privately, I'll give you my name and address.
Okay.
That you can give to the guards here in Cork, and they'll have it on the
okay.
record.
All right, okay, I'll do that. All right, listen, thank you very much for your cooperation. That was wonderful.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
A lot of people, by the way, texting in similar stories. A gang of three guys, somebody else says, not exactly the same thing happened to my mother. A gang of three guys come over and told her they had noticed, they were working in the area and noticed that her gutter was loose. And again, they tried to get into the house. Luckily enough, I came along at the time. So similar to Maria, he came along, whoever this person is, or maybe it's a she. I came along and they quickly made their exit. Absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking. Somebody else says, so stupid for people to say it's irrelevant. It narrows a wide population down to a smaller population based on accent, colour, culture, appearance. People are stupid. Yeah, absolutely. Of course you have to point it out. If the man identifies them as members of the travelling community, there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's perfectly acceptable. It doesn't mean that every member of the travelling community is a scam artist knocking on doors looking to fix gutters. It just means those three were, and we can identify them a little bit quicker rather than identifying them out of 5 million people. So there's nothing wrong with saying it. Niall, you're absolutely right. Bastards, that's exactly what they are. They are. They're vermin. They're actually gutter vermin, is what they are. They're the lowest form of life. Most of these, by the way, are unintelligent morons. I've seen more intelligent things lying at the bottom of ponds on their backs. Some of the gangs, well, he mentions here some traveller gangs have a code and sent out spotters with a map to scope houses. Then they mark the houses with A, alarm, C, camera, D, dog, and P for pensioners. And by the way, can I point out, because it would be only fair of me to say that there are people from the settler community too who scam people, by the way, as well. But yes, but these gangs that go around doing the gutters or the tarmac, you know, generally speaking, they're after one thing, and that's to scam somebody, usually vulnerable people. There probably are people who do genuinely good jobs at tarmacking and fix gutters, but I haven't come across any of them. Any jobs that I've ever heard done by people who knock at your door are usually an ulterior motive of some description, usually trying to get money or to rob you in some way, shape or form. But I mean, I think, I hope Keith's father takes it further. I know the man is very embarrassed, but what happened there is a serious crime as far as I'm concerned. Keith is right, it's almost similar to kidnap. You know, it really is. I know you're not sorry for saying it. I won't be reading that one out, unfortunately. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Now, it kind of then leads me on, doesn't it, to the question we were talking about today, and we talked to Anthony today about religion. And Anthony is convinced that because religion is waning in this country, we're now down to a level of 48% of people claim they're religious versus probably 90% 50 years ago, or 100% nearly 50 years ago would have been religious. That, I suppose, well, factually, crime hasn't risen really that much. Some crime has, but most serious crime like murder and manslaughter and all those hasn't actually risen. We hear about it more. That's all that happens because of social media and news and journalism and everything else and more newspapers and more online material. We read about crime a lot more. But generally, the world is a safer place. But in saying that, there's definitely a change in society, and there's a disrespect for authority, particularly from young people. Not all young people, but a lot of them have a complete disrespect for authority. And Anthony believed that that was directly due to the fact that we don't have religion. And he believed religion was there to control people somewhat morally. And he believes because we've lost our religion, lost our faith, we're losing our way morally. I want to know if you agree with him. Is Ireland a safe place? Do you believe Ireland is a safe place? Now, it was voted the 10th safest place out of 163 countries. Ireland also comes in the top 10 for the last 11 years. Ireland has the 11th lowest homicide rate in Europe. And the 23rd lowest in the world. And that's good, isn't it? That's a good thing. Even though I know you're hearing a lot about murders lately. But realistically, we're only hearing them because they happen together at the same time, which is very sad. But in saying that, overall, we have less murders now. For example, the highest murder rate we had was in 2007, believe it or not. And we had 78 murders in 1 year. That was the highest rate we've ever had. The lowest rates probably go back a long time ago. But for example, in 2003, we had 36 murders. And in 2016, which is the CSO statistics of the last year we'd have, because they were done in 2017, will be 2016, we had 37 murders. So it's only a difference of one. In between that time, in 2006, 60 murders, 2007, 78 murders, 2008, 51. So, in fact, the murder rate is actually going down and not up, contrary to popular belief. Now, I'd like to see what it was over the last 12 months, because it's probably reasonably high, because we've heard of quite a few. But we do. The problem is, when we have a murder in Ireland, we all know about it, because it's a small country. We're like a little village, aren't we, really? So when we have a tragedy and somebody is killed, you know, particularly in a tragic way, we hear about it and we all know about it. So it kind of makes us feel a little bit uneasy. Let me know what you think, by the way. Do you believe Ireland is a safe place? Billy, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Billy?
Niall, how you doing? Niall, just before you go on, the lady was on there a minute ago. Yeah, asked her about the number plates. You should have just asked her. Well, you didn't obviously want the number, but you should ask them where the yellow.
That's right, yeah, where they're yellow.
British or Northern Irish, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But she surely would have noticed the yellow colour. But getting back to the crime, yeah, okay, murders are down and so are manslaughter and everything, but no, crime has got, it's not safer. That's a no-brainer. It's total madness out there, mayhem. People aren't reporting crimes. Like, there's more assaults now than ever. There's more burglaries. There's more robberies. There's more shoplifting. I could go on here on my own bike as well. Twice I've had bikes robbed now in the last couple of years, and I'm not buying another one again. And a good luck on them both times. And people just not reporting them, Niall. The crime's gone through the roof.
Well, how old are you, Billy, by the way?
I'm 52 now.
Okay, so when you were a young fella, the population is probably twice now what it was when you were a young fella. Mm. So logically, you should have twice the amount of crime.
Yeah, we don't. We have about four times the amount of crime.
Do you think so? Because if you look at the stats...
Of course I think so, Niall. Niall, you're going by people that are convicted, yeah?
Yeah, that's what the stats would be based on.
Well,
convictions.
Yeah. Well, I'm going by the people, the scumbags that are fucking out with 60, 70 convictions. Like, I work in the security game, there's people robbing all the time. And then they get caught, you bring them up to the office, you bring them whatever, the cops come, they go with the car, they get away with it. And it's rampant bicycles. I don't know how many bicycles go missing in this town every week. Mm-hmm. Thousands. And the people don't just go to the guards anymore, they don't report them. And that gentleman that was robbed there for 450 years, there's no reason whatsoever why them scumbags can't be found. There's CCTV all over this town. The Gardaí, if they really wanted, they can sit down, they can trace that van going onto one road, going onto another road. There's no reason why them scumbags can't be caught.
No, I completely agree with you. There isn't, because he had to go to the ATM machine, and I'm sure there must be cameras in there. Yeah,
and they'll see him going onto this road, that road.
Yeah,
that should be followed through, like they do. I see programs in England. They just look for where you bought something. If you bought a tool and a hardware, they look to see the batch code, to piece one thing together and another thing together.
I know, that story really made me very angry tonight.
Yeah, but
I found the three of them, they need the head kicked off them. That's what they need.
Yeah, I don't know whether you live beside. What people need to do is look out for all their neighbours, elderly neighbours, especially if people are working in the vicinity. You need to look out for your neighbours. I need to look out for elderly people in case scumbags like that try to do our neighbours, you know?
What do you think of this story that every year the Institute of Economics and Peace, they're an Australian think tank, carefully analyse 163 countries to determine how peaceful countries are. And they use what they call a global peace index. And they say that Ireland, now it's based, by the way, on corruption, terrorism, crime, weapons, prison systems.
Right.
And that Ireland, you know, for the last 11 years has come in the top 10 as the safest place to live.
Well, that is a bit crazy because, like, we don't have any terrorism here.
That's the point, isn't it? We don't have any weapons. We don't have any terrorism.
No, so how did we get in the top 10? Like, I could name 10 countries straight away right now. The Middle East, and then I haven't even come to South America.
Get into the top 10 based on your, I suppose, the possibility of you being the victim of a crime.
Victim of crime, but... normal crimes, but not terrorism. I don't know how we got up to 10, but... there's much more crime now, and there's so much not reported. People don't bother when their house is robbed a lot of time. Only for insurance purposes they do. But, you know what I mean? And these people that
robbed house... There's never any convictions for burglary.
No, exactly. There's no convictions for muggings. There's no convictions for robbing your phones. You see what goes on in Temple Bar all the time. You know what nationality robbed the phones, and you know yourself, they're an organisation. It's organised... begging and all that, and they rob your phones, they rob your property if you don't look at, you keep an eye on your property, and it's organised, and there's so many assaults, and as I said, there's so many bikes, there's so many robberies, there's so many shoplifting, so many assaults. Just doesn't get, people don't get jail for them, they just revolve and door.
Right, okay, well stay there, let me just go to Gareth as well. Gareth, you're on Classic Hits, how are you doing, Gareth?
Good evening, good in yourself, Niall.
Good. Now, Gareth, you're from South Africa, yeah. Originally. You're living in Ireland, yeah?
Well, yeah, I've been the last 4.5 years, and, well, just to give, like I said, I would say it's a very safe place, actually, in the sense, like, now, you said there your statistics of 86 murders for the 1 year, that was a high count?
No, that was 78.
Oh, 78, sorry, 78.
That
78.
Was in 2007, yeah.
Yeah, now, that's currently about the murder rate a day in South Africa.
Yeah, you know? I know, I understand that, but you can't, that's a bit of what about
you. It's a lot larger country, like you say now, it's a small country and all that. So, but I'll put it down to, it sounds a lot more, how can I say, violent and a lot more crime is around. But it is not actually, you did right in saying that there's social media that is on the big upcome.
Yeah, we're aware of everything. We're aware of everything that happens. Whereas 40 years ago, we wouldn't have been aware of what was happening.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. A silly example, I mean, the person that got cut up and burnt and all that, very tragic, very sad story. I would wish it upon no one, but you have the scenario of that. It's all over the media, covered on Facebook, it's covered on Twitter, it's covered on normal news. So you don't have just one platform of news which you're getting it from. You've got multiple platforms.
You can't avoid it, yes.
Therefore, one small incident even would be major news.
I mean, let me just, Billy, that's a very fair point. For example, tonight on the show, we spoke to former councillor Keith Redmond about his dad and the incident.
That was actually very tragic. I would say, honestly, there I am appalled by the people that should do something like that, because that's inhumane.
Okay, and the point I'm trying to make is, Billy, you would never know about that if it wasn't, say, for this radio show. I wouldn't know about it if it wasn't for social media, because Keith had put it on. So the point is, Billy, those kind of crimes were happening 40 or 50 years ago. We just didn't really hear about them.
No, I don't know. But what about, I know we didn't have the dart 40 years ago. No, we didn't. But I'm just saying, what about when we had the train? Like, you go from Donaghmede to Bray. There was no people being attacked on the trains then, and when we had the buses, you're going on the buses, there's no people being attacked on the bus. You can't go anywhere without being attacked. You go on the train, you're on the Lewis. It's just mayhem. It's constant antisocial behaviour, you know what I mean?
I accept what Billy is saying, Gareth, you know, that it may not be serious crime, public order problems, usually, generally speaking, you know, little scuts acting the maggot. Maybe we've lost a sense of authority.
No, it definitely has. I would fully agree with what was said there by yourself now, in the sense that you have a scenario as well now where you a little bit more, I would say, undisciplined teens and youngsters. And when I say youngsters, I'm talking about somebody that's still under the age of 21, 22, because to me that's still a person that is also still finding his maturity or her maturity, and still figuring out what life is actually going to happen with them. You know, and I would say those people having unsocial behavior, yes, once again, you have somebody filming it on social media and that. Now, I understand what he says there with the trains and that. And I would say, but it would mostly be hardworking people back in the day that would be on the train. You know, your youngsters of back in the day, well, we all still played in the dirt and the mud, rather. Whereas today, they're so involved with their technology, they're on the trains, they're on the darts, nothing else better to do but
cause trouble, yeah.
I agree with you, because years ago, like I would have been in the 80s, I wouldn't be on the trains, I'd be playing football, I'd be doing whatever, playing this and playing that. But the people, when he said they've nothing better to do, I don't agree with that. They've loads of stuff to do, there's loads of clubs, and there's loads of facilities.
Like, I think maybe that was a bit out of context for myself. But
yeah.
Sorry, Gareth, what part of South Africa did you live in?
Johannesburg, it was a suburb of Johannesburg, Benoni.
And was that a dangerous place at the time when you were there?
Not, I won't say extremely, but in the 12 to 14 years that I did live there, I I was the victim of being mugged more than once. Mm-hmm. I was held up by gunpoint. So, yeah, no, it's stuff that happened there to me in the 14 years that I lived there that wouldn't even happen to a person in his lifetime here in Ireland. That's why I say I feel it's a very safe country. But I'm taking that in retrospect of where I've come from.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I could pick more dangerous countries as well than South Africa as well. There's so many other dangerous countries out there. Stay there, please, Gareth Billy. I have to take a break. You can keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. We're asked about religion, because I suppose that was the conversation we had today. And just on that note, sorry, Gareth, I know you're still there. Do you believe that the fall off in the belief of religion has any connection whatsoever to do with the way society has changed and children or, well, teenagers have a lack of respect?
To be dead honest, I've said, I've been on the show before, and I said I am actually Christian, not Catholic Christian, but I am Christian. And I do believe that they do need some kind of belief system or moral values, you know.
Can you not instill moral values in a child without having religion?
No, you can. I mean, that is down to the fact of how you
raise your child.
Raise them and the lessons and the... I would say the moral values you try and install in them. I mean, at the end of the day, kids are growing up a lot faster thanks to the modern technology and society we have of today.
Yeah, I think they have too much information, if you ask me, but however.
That's it. Yeah, I fully agree with you, actually. I mean, my daughter's 8-year-old, and she's finally now only really gotten her own devices and stuff that she's allowed to use to watch YouTube with and that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've tried to put it off as long as possible, but all the cousins have devices and that, you know, so...
You should be left out. Sorry, Billy, yeah. Billy, are you religious?
No. I used to go to Mass when I was younger. Of course, I was forced, you know.
The point I was making, and Anthony made this today, that, you know, he thinks that 30 or 40 years ago, we were all kind of controlled somewhat by the Catholic Church. So we were told what we could and couldn't do. Do you think there's any relevance in that at all, that, you know, the fact that we're not as religious now, that we kind of...
None at
all. Our moral values have changed?
None at all, no. There's a right and a wrong way, and then the right way is not get into trouble. You know, my kids are like your own, Niall. They're all working, and they don't be in trouble because I brought them up the way my mother and father brought me up, which wasn't a bad way at all. The only difference is I didn't give my kids the belt. I got the belt a few times, but I wouldn't... Yeah.
I got the slipper.
Yeah, I don't have any psychological scars over it. I don't have a problem with it. Made me what I am now. But I didn't do it with my kids. But I certainly disciplined them, and they're all grand.
Yeah, by the way, in South Africa, Garrett, did you get the slipper and the belt every now and again?
Oh, South African mom used anything she could reach.
My mother used to take, she had a bamboo cane that she used to keep her plant, her little potted plant in the front room. The bamboo cane would be removed in one fell swoop and across the back of your legs. Go ahead, Billy.
No, I just want to make one more important point. The reason why as well is a lot unsafer now in the country is because it's the past government's fault. I won't mention any parties because no point, because they're all the same. But it's going back to 2008. Like, the first thing they done was cut Garda stations, close them down, like, cut Garda numbers. Like, you never touch that, no matter what the economy's like. So what the Garda are doing now, they're doing a great job, but they're just so understaffed. They're basically chasing their tail. Crime's out of control now because...
There isn't enough guards there to actually chase the crimes.
Yeah, and that's not their fault, Niall. That's the government's fault. I'm making no mistake about it. It's the government's fault. And as a result, the streets are not safe anymore. And I don't know whether Gardaí... I'm not talking about murders, I'm talking about all the other crimes.
Yeah, the public order problems.
And
that
I don't
know
whether we're ever going to get on top of it again.
Okay, sorry, you were trying to say something there, Gareth, yeah?
I fully agree with... I would say the guards do a very good job in that, but I mean, if you think about in context, even a small town in South Africa would have quite a large guard presence. You know, and even there, I mean, crime is still heavy, and it's still happening. You know, so I would say I don't think the number of guards would be
a big factor to not crime happening, but at least there will be more prevention towards it.
Absolutely. Okay. But I think it is, and I mentioned many times that, you know, when I was a kid and you'd see guards walking around on the beat, which you don't really see as much now because there isn't just isn't enough of them to do it anymore, it would deter people maybe from wanting to commit a crime. Now, well, let me just go to Anna. Anna, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Anna?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Anna, I mean, do you think Ireland is a safe place?
For the majority, yeah.
Okay.
I think crime is more highlighted now because a lot of us are more connected and we read more and there's more like more impact on social media and stuff like that on minor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the world is a lot more dramatic than what it used to be. Like, my dad was a guard.
Yeah.
And, like, he remembered, like, the riots in Shamrock Cemetery in the 50s where they were out of bicycle chains and bottles and... Like, so, no, stuff happened back in the day. It was just...
We didn't really hear about it as much.
We didn't hear about it, and maybe not everybody bought the newspaper, and maybe not everybody listened. Maybe it didn't even make RTE back in the day, you know?
Yeah, because, of course, we only had one television station, and we had two newspapers. That was
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So, like, everything back, like, beyond, like, the 90s was swept underneath the carpet, and... It was sort of all hushed up and everything.
And it says on my screen here, you think there's a connection between poverty and crime?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, we saw poverty. I'm not saying crime will disappear because it will always be great.
But we would have had more. We would have, if you go back 70 years ago, we would have had a lot more poverty in Ireland than we have now.
Yeah, we hadn't got access to our kids earning 200-300 quid a day by selling a bag of coke on the corner, though, had they?
Well, this is it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You know,
well, drugs. You're right. Drugs has created a big problem, obviously.
And then, obviously, on top of that, they see the lifestyle, like, of all these people on Instagram, and they want that. Why shouldn't they want it? You know, like, if it's normal for this other person, why shouldn't they think it could be in their normality as well?
Yeah, so when a 14-year-old sees the 18-year-old with, you know, the best designer clothes and he's not working and he's selling drugs and he has a new car and everything, exactly. He wants that, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's influence. Like, you know, there's influences everywhere, and parents are influences, and I'm a parent, and I have four kids, and they don't behave like that. But it's up, and that's not down to the church. We're atheists, and we're not brought up in any church in any way, shape, or form. No, that's what down to is good guidance in life, and, like, you know, that's morally wrong.
Yeah.
And having that ability to say to yourself, that's morally wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need religion to tell you not to steal. Yeah. Or not. I know they're in the commandments, but those before the commandments even came about, it was wrong. It was morally wrong in society to steal, to kill, or all those things.
Or wouldn't be able to sit down and have a conversation with your child about the rights and wrongs.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, say that because I want to go to Michael as well. Michael, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Michael? Hold on, Michael. I just switch it on there. Sorry, I'll turn you on. Michael, how are you doing?
Nice and sturdy.
Good. Michael, Ireland, is it a safe place now? Is it safer than it was, say, 50 years ago?
Depends on what part.
Well, in the middle of the population has almost doubled in 50 years. So, you know, I mean, well, it actually has doubled in 50 years. We're nearly at 5 million people now.
Yeah. I mean, it's more open now than it was in the past, you know. I've been echoed there on my...
I'm sorry about that, there's nothing I can do about it, Michael, unfortunately.
All right, cool. Okay. I mean, if you think of the past, right, there was a lot more secretive stuff going on. Like, you couldn't do today what you did then. Like, you couldn't sexually abuse tens of thousands of kids and, you know, walk around with their head held high and be a bastion of society kind of thing.
Stuff went unreported at the time, yeah.
Yeah, that can't go on anymore, you know.
Yeah.
The so-called pillars of society, you know. I think it's changed. I think there is...
Yeah, so you had men coming home baiting their wives and all sorts of carry-on years ago, and that sort of stuff is not acceptable anymore in society. Now that gets put down as being a crime. We accept that as a crime. We accept sexual abuse of children as a crime. It didn't seem to be a crime, you know, going back 50 years ago. These pillars of society, as you said, got away with it because of the power they had.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't know. I think religion keeps us infantile. That's my belief about religion. I don't think religion is a saviour for anyone. I don't think the Christianity and Islam, these are Middle Eastern things. They don't belong here. We had our own thing before they came here. You know, I think...
Well, we had Catholicism, yeah.
Yeah, if we're going to grow up, like, as a species, religion has to go. Governments have to go.
But did religion... I mean, this is the point Anthony was trying to make today. I didn't personally agree with it, but he makes the point that religion kind of held us all together, so to speak.
I don't agree because I don't.
They instilled morals, maybe. Well, they forced their own version of morals on people.
No, I think religion came in at one stage and imposed itself upon us. It came in with ferociousness and it butchered us, killed us, tortured us, enslaved us for hundreds, thousands of years, and it beat us.
Religion is still there, by the way. When you're saying that like it's past tense, by the way. Religion is still there.
It beat us into submission to the point where we think it's all that ever was. And it's only a new thing. We go back a long time. I think, like, when you look at what religion hides from us, if you look at the Vatican and stuff, they have the real history of Earth and stuff hidden down in their basements, and there was kind of oxygen-proofed kind of museums.
Catacombs, yeah.
You know, they're hiding from us who we really are, and they know they are. And we, in our hearts, if we really looked into history, we'd figure that out too. Like, so religion can go jump off a cliff, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's an infantile thing for infantile people. Like,
so do you believe that people who are religious lack intelligence? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I think they've submitted their intelligence. We're all intelligent. They just submitted.
Richard Dawkins said that once. Said that people who were religious lacked intelligence, or who believed in God lacked intelligence.
We're all capable of greatness. Every one of us. I just think some people have handed that power over to religion. I don't agree with that.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me go to Eddie. Eddie, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Eddie?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Lyle.
Okay, you're religious.
I am very religious. I believe I go to Mass every Sunday.
Right, okay. And do you think the fact that people are not as religious now as they would have been, say, 50 years ago? 50 years ago, 99% of the population were obsessed. We used to go to church on a Sunday and all this kind of. Now, according to the latest stats, only 48% of people claim to be religious. In Ireland, that is. So do you believe that downfall in the faith, do you believe that has had a knock-on effect on the morals of society?
I think that people are disillusioned with white-collar crime.
Right.
And just saying to themselves, why should we go to church when all the crime is committed by white-collar people?
Well, it is.
So people are disillusioned quite a bit.
But what, like the bankers and the...
The bankers and...
The people, the top brass, yeah.
So forth.
Well, they're equally as guilty. The men in the suits are equally as guilty as the fella in the tracksuit when it comes to crime.
Yeah, but they don't seem to be prosecuted.
Hmm. Well, yes, they're less likely to be prosecuted, probably, because they have the money to pay for good representation and get away with it.
They have, yeah. And I've always listened to people that put down religion and it's an excuse to turn into something else.
What were they? I mean, okay, take me as an example, Eddie. I've no belief in religion whatsoever. I don't believe
it. Yeah, I often pray for you, actually.
Well, I don't need you to pray for me, I grant. But, Eddie, yeah. I respect the fact that you're religious. I don't disrespect you, but I don't have to respect your religion. So I don't believe in your religion. So what does that... How does that make me different to you or less of a person than you? I'm just curious. But I'm not being smart. I'm just actually curious.
Yeah, well, it does make you less a person because in the eyes of religion, there's always hope for somebody.
There's always hope for me, is there?
There is, yeah.
Is that not a bit patronising?
No, not really, no. There's always...
I know you don't mean any badness and you have the best intentions, but is it not a bit patronising when people say to somebody who's not religious, you know, well, sure, I'll pray for you and sure, God will be good to you, or on your deathbed, or whatever it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, or you'll turn to God in the end, which I probably won't.
That's right, yeah.
But I don't believe in it, Eddie. So why does it make... Like, if a young fella at 17 or 18 doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in religion, why is he different to a young fella that does, if he's been brought up properly, I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a good argument to make, and it's very haphazard. It's the belief you have in yourself.
Mm.
And you try and spread it as much as possible. Like, I'm living at the moment, I have a lodger with me.
Right.
And he's a Muslim.
Right.
I respect his religion.
Right, and he respects yours.
He does, yeah. He goes up to his room and he prays.
Right, okay.
And so I've never tried to turn him to my religion.
And do you ever sit down and have a bit of a debate with him?
No, I wouldn't, because I went to knock once.
But isn't that the whole confusion about religion? So if the two of you are sitting around the breakfast table, right?
He
believes in one God, you believe in a different one, right?
Yeah.
Only because of where he was born, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's Morocco.
Okay, so if he was born in Ireland, he'd believe in your God, and if you were born in Morocco, you'd believe in his. That seems a bit silly, doesn't it? When you think about
it. Well, it is a bit silly, but we have respect for each other.
Right. Michael, you've been listening to Eddie there, you know. He's going to say a prayer for me. He probably has.
Yeah.
and he believes that religion, or, you know, the lack of religion has a role to play in the rise of, you know, bad behaviour, bad morals and crime.
Well, that's his belief.
Mm? It is.
No. Mm? We don't know what to say. I mean, you can't talk to religious people.
Well, you can. I'm talking to Eddie, am I?
I know, but you'll never... They're going to come from the one place all the time. They're not going to, like, ever change their mind. Or you're not going to have an open conversation.
No, I wouldn't be like that. I'm very broad-minded.
No, yeah, easy.
Religious people... No, but you're being deceptive with yourself now, because you're coming from the place of... You want to convert everybody.
Even
I don't think he's trying to convert everybody. He listens to the show all the time, and he knows I'm probably the biggest atheist on the media. So he still listens and enjoys the show. So
I do, yeah.
So that tells to me that he's open minded. Well, sure, you've heard the things I've said about religion, for God's sake.
I know, but see,
sure, I was in the paper. It was actually in the paper today. Did you read the article in the Irish Times today? I'll read the headline here for you. Irish Times. Today's Irish Times. Where's it gone here now? Today's Irish Times, and it says, headline, BAI rejects complaint over Boylan's satanic rosary remark. Because I said on radio that I was at a particular funeral. I was talking about a particular funeral, and I said, not all funerals are like that, but most of them are lovely, right? But at this particular funeral, it almost seems satanic, the way people were chanting, and I felt very uncomfortable at it. And
You have a point, though.
Yeah, I got a complaint. It was the Association of Catholic Bishops complained to the Broadcasting Authority. Martin Long, it was, made the complaint. And he wanted me to apologise on the air, or he was going to complain. So I refused to apologise.
Good on you.
So he complained. But now, thankfully, the BAI accepted my explanation that it was a personal experience, and they rejected his complaint, which was very nice of them.
Imagine they ran with it. That would be hilarious, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't mind. I get publicity anyway. Thanks to Martin Long, by the way, from the Association of Catholic Bishops, because you just got me a full page in the Irish Times.
There you go.
And me name in lights again. So, that's what it's all about.
Here's the thing, right? And I'm not picking a fight with Eddie or anyone.
No, Eddie sounds like a really nice guy. I'd love to sit down and chat over a table to Eddie for hours. I could talk to the man for hours.
Yeah, good.
And I respect him. But I don't have to respect his religion. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I respect him.
And I won't push it down your throat either.
No.
Yeah, but just because you're not being Bible bashing, it doesn't mean that that's not where you're coming from. You could be like a gentle, placid converter, or you could be the Bible basher.
I wouldn't be converted unless I was vulnerable. Yeah.
You know, they turn up the dial of where you're coming from, but you're coming from the exact same place as the guy bashing the Bible, or the guy who comes up to you on O'Connell Street and he says you're going to burn. And you know this guy, the guy that comes up to you when you're outside the Savoy, the ginger fella, and he comes up and he just walks up and pops in front of your face and he says you're going to die and all this kind of thing.
Like, or who's the other lad at Abbey Street who wants to do a personality test with you all the time? Remember, that was a Scientologist. Eddie, what do you think of that old Scientology thing?
Well, it's very... it's very deep, really.
A spaceman came down.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So a bloke from the skies came down, and now he's their god. That's a bit. Is that a bit far fetched? Do you think?
It is a bit far-fetched.
Is it any less far-fetched than a man in the sky building a planet in 7 days?
Well, it would be, yeah.
Do you think so?
I think so, yeah.
But do you not think it's a bit far-fetched that a fella in the sky build the Earth in 7 days? Is that not far-fetched?
Well...
Because I don't know, the point I'm making is, I have to laugh, and again, I have no disrespect for you personally as a person, I have to laugh when I hear people who are religious having a go at Scientology and saying, did you ever hear the like of it? They worship a spaceman who came down from space, an alien from space. And I go, well, hold on a second. You worship a lad in the sky that no one's ever seen that was supposed to build the Earth in 7 days. So which is worse? So there's no difference, really, is there?
We must respect all people's viewpoints.
Right.
And if we accept everybody's viewpoints, we'll be more considerate within ourselves.
Yeah, I do respect everybody's viewpoint, unless they harm other people. Well, stay there, please, Eddie, and stay there, Michael. Let me go to Pauline, getting back to Ireland and it being a safe place or not. Pauline, is this a safe place?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's anything like it was years ago. I think it's... I think everybody's aware of an awful lot more, like you were saying, through social media and that kind of thing.
Mm.
But I never heard my parents speak about the things that I know are happening around me today. And I don't even listen to the news a lot of the time. Most of what I hear is on your show now.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that, by the way. But I wouldn't use my show just as your source of news, mind you.
No, I don't. I'm not really interested in the news or in people's opinions, but... yeah, I think things have changed an awful lot because in the schools and, I mean, the commandments and that kind of thing, they're not taught anymore. And as far as I understand, I don't think so. Well, we were never taught to read the Bible. We were told what the commandments were. We had catechism. We were not told things that are in the Bible that I know now, and that's because I read.
And did you read the Bible?
I do now, but I didn't as a Roman Catholic.
Did you read the Old Testament or the New Testament? Which
both.
Both, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
The Old Testament, now, in fairness...
It's difficult.
It's difficult reading because, a lot of things are sentenceable by death. You know what I mean? So, but I don't think anybody... I don't believe any Christian takes the Old Testament literally. Yeah.
But they do. If you read the things that are in the Bible are absolutely... to say astonishing, things that we weren't taught about, gifts of the Holy Spirit, things like that, that the Roman Catholic Church doesn't teach, although it reads from the exact same Bible on a Sunday, like the things of signs, wonders and miracles, that's not in
and you
Catholic.
Do you believe the Bible as a book of fact, do you?
Yes, yeah, and the Old Testament is basically, it's foretelling what comes in the New Testament.
Well, of course, yeah, but what I'm asking is, do you believe that the Bible is a book of fact?
Absolutely. It's not just a book of facts. It's a book of how to live our lives, even in business.
Right, so it's a guide to life as far as
family.
So you're religious, Pauline, yeah?
No, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with God. I don't consider myself to have a religion. I have a relationship
I think we had this conversation before, Pauline. The very fact that you live your life by the Bible means that you are religious.
Well,
the definition of the word religion, I think I explained this before, the definition of the word religion or religious doesn't necessarily mean you have to have millions of people doing the same thing. It just means that
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it means that you support a God or the belief in a God or a spirit of some description or a higher power.
Well, you see, when you've had a personal experience of something in your life, miracles happen every day. And you find that...
Never experienced a miracle.
I have. I've experienced many things that are in the Bible, but I wouldn't have known what they were until I began to read the Bible.
And give me an example of a miracle that you've experienced.
A miracle, okay. Well, I know that you do know that God is the same today. Well, if the Bible is to be true, he's the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And people are healed every day by people praying for them.
Okay, but where's the miracle in that?
Well, because science can't explain it. Doctors don't understand it.
Science can't explain what? That God is the same today as he was yesterday?
No, that when somebody is healed or cured of something that's like terminal, like, and there are many examples.
Of course, there are many people, in hospitals, many people make recoveries and doctors find it, they can't explain why it happened because the human body is just so complicated we don't understand it properly yet.
Well, the human body was made, you see, this is a very kind of deep conversation to get into because the human body was created, if you believe in God, to replenish and repair itself.
So you don't believe in evolution?
No, absolutely not. Darwin.
So well then, if you believe the Bible and don't believe in evolution, you believe that people are only on this planet in the last 6,000 years, because that's what the Bible says. No.
What I want to say is that when God spoke the world into existence,
Pauline, can
Darwin
I ask you?
Wasn't there. He just wasn't there.
Okay, but you're a clever woman, Pauline. I've spoken to you many times. But do you honestly believe, because the Bible says that people and human beings have only been on this planet, life began 6,000 years ago. Do you believe that?
I believe there was life from the time that our Lord spoke.
Okay, but no, according to the Bible, and experts of the Bible have said that the Bible states, the book of Genesis, states that human beings have only been on the planet for the last 6,000 years. Do you believe that?
No, I don't necessarily believe it. I don't have an opinion on that, and I don't want to be smart about it.
But if you believe the Bible, that's what you believe.
No, but hold on a second. I would have to read more and probably be a more astute Bible reader to be able to answer that question to you. But what I am saying is that miracles do happen every day, and there are many people who can testify that.
Well, I do believe that extraordinary things happen every day, but I don't equate it to some miracle by a higher power.
Yeah, well, if you read the Bible, you'll find that those things
I have read sections of the Bible when I was younger and everything. It just didn't interest me, to be honest.
I wish you would read it now, because I'd love to have a debate with you, and I need to do more reading myself.
But to me, I might as well, and I say this with respect, I might as well be reading Spider-Man, because to me, it's not real. It's a book about something that you have to have faith to believe in, because there's absolutely no evidence that any of it happened.
There is evidence that it happened. I mean, there's so much evidence.
There isn't any evidence.
I hear you talking about Noah's Ark. They've actually found Noah's Ark.
They didn't find Noah's Ark. That's a myth, that story. That's an urban legend, that they allegedly found it out under an ice cap somewhere or something like that.
No.
Yeah, no, they didn't find
it. No, it's not in an ice cap. They actually found it. It's on land. No, I'm not good at geography. I'll look it up and I'll post it on to you. But it's actually on land.
But I mean, the story of Noah's Ark, he got all land-fearing animals. That's 2.3 million different species of animals onto one boat.
You want to get into debate statistics? You're just
I'm trying to be realistic with you here. I'm not saying. I think the story of Noah's Ark. I remember watching a documentary about it once. It's a lovely story, and it teaches children about how we should protect animals, and in the face of danger, this particular pharaoh, when the Nile flooded its banks, took his oxen and his calf and his family, his two children and his wife, on a raft. He made a raft, and they sailed down the Nile and created a new community with the two oxen that he had and the calf, or what, a sheep or something like that. I don't know what it was. And that was where the story came from. But because, like every other story throughout time, it gets exaggerated.
And
it's a nice story. It's a lovely little story. But there's no way that two lads and their mother and father built a boat with Bronze Age tools. They'd be still building it today. That would actually hold 2.3 million animals for 40 days.
How long do you think it took, according to the Bible, for Noah to build an ark?
I have no idea.
If he started
6,000 years ago, he'd be still doing it now.
Well, it took a lot more years than we know people to live nowadays. You see, before the time that Christ came, our Lord was able to communicate with people as he did with Adam and Eve. And I'm not going to get into all of that right now because we're going to end up arguing.
No, we're not going to end up arguing. I'm quite happy to believe in people's faith, to listen to people about their faith and respect them because they believe in it. But I find it very difficult when somebody starts to tell me an outrageous story is true, because as much as it's a nice story, I just think for anybody to believe that story, hook, line and sinker, so to speak, I find it overwhelming. Sorry, Mike. Michael, you want to say something there? Go ahead, Michael.
I'm just laughing.
What are you laughing at? Pauline is religious, obviously. She believes it, and I have respect for Pauline, but I don't have to believe what she believes.
She sounds like half a Christian. She hasn't read the Bible. She believes fully in it. She hasn't read it.
She said she did read it.
She won't argue the points on it because she doesn't understand them. She doesn't know what she's talking about. It sounds so infantile. This is the infantile kind of... This is the infantile thing I'm talking about in religion. Like, it just keeps people pure infantile. Like, it's... People need to study real history and real books, archaeology, like proper stuff. Not this... Like, it's just... I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, well, just can I just say in response to what you said, it was only because of a personal experience that I had that I began to read the Bible. As a Roman Catholic, I always hoped God existed, but because of an experience that I had, I know he exists, and then I began to read the Bible.
So you believe he exists. You don't know he exists. You believe he does. You have faith in us.
Fact. I know for a fact that I did. Okay. I know
for a fact. But how you don't know for a fact? How do you know for a fact? Have you ever seen him? You no, hold on. It's fair to say you believe he exists.
No, I know for a fact that he's exists.
But you can't say that. You can't make that statement.
I'm not a bit ashamed to say it.
I'm not asking to be ashamed to say it. But you've made a statement that you know for a fact he exists. So when you use the word fact, you must have some evidence to back that up.
I have evidence, but I can't explain it to you.
But then the evidence doesn't exist if you can't show it to anybody.
It does, because it was witnessed. So let's put
okay,
it that
so,
way.
Okay, so what, somebody saw God?
No, I didn't say I saw God. Well, I said I had a personal experience that was not what we would consider anything to do
you,
with
yeah, okay, and some okay, something unexplained happened to you, but you can't equate that to God. You're just equating that to God. You know what I mean? I mean, I had a near miss the other day where some fella broke a red light and missed me by about a fraction of an inch the other day. I could have been dead. I don't equate that to God. I just put that down to luck.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're not even Roman Catholic, as you say.
No.
But I guess even as Roman Catholics, that's what people do. But when you have had a personal experience, and it is unexplainable, and it is witnessed by other people.
Okay, and I accept, Pauline, that you believe in God, or you believe there's a God. But to suggest that it's a fact, that means that then you must produce some sort of evidence. Scientists say things like that, and then they produce evidence. When you make a claim, it's up to the person who makes the claim then to produce the evidence. But you're not producing any evidence apart from a feeling that you think you're equating it to. Okay, well, let me just go to... stay there, please. Who want to go to finally? Just want to go to Philip on this. Philip, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Philip?
Hello, Niall.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Rock and roll. Listen, I have to interject there just at the very end of what you were saying, and then get back to the point where I rang in the first place.
Right.
You're saying facts, right, to prove God's fact.
Yeah.
Actually, facts are a 17th century invention. You're correct in that. It's a scientific term, fact.
Yeah.
The term fact didn't exist before the 17th century. But faith is a different kind of story. Faith is both a gift and a response, and it's a technical term, it's a religious term.
Yeah, it's nice.
Awe, wonder, delight, cosmic, looking at the cosmos. Abraham Lincoln said he didn't believe in God, but he looked at the earth, all the wars, etc.
Yeah.
So when he looked at the sky, like Oscar Wilde said something very similar before he was converted. He said, when he looked at the sky, he said he just had to have some sense of...
Where did it all come from? Yeah.
Where did it all come from? Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you take the earth... Now, I'm talking from a scientific point of view here for a moment... Just switching over, because you can't, anyone, look, if you take the Big Bang theory was actually invented, or discovered, rather. You can use either word, but
yeah.
Discovered, I often use the word discovered, because it's so beautiful. It was discovered by a Belgian priest in 1931 or 33, called Lemaître. If you look him up on the internet, Lemaître.
Okay, now, I take your word for it.
Anyway, Einstein cried when he heard Lemaître expound the theory of the Big Bang. Okay, Einstein cried. It's so beautiful. It says, oh, the Big Bang started with one cell. We are from that one cell. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't understand it, but Big Bang theory, scientists have been going along in the last 30, 40 years. Even in 1919, Einstein's relativity theory was partially proven by an eclipse of the sun. Now, I'm not going to go into it now too much, because it's too much for your listeners to follow. But basically, Niall...
Well, we have proven Einstein's theory. I mean, isn't it?
More or less, in CERN,
they have our particle accelerators.
He was always looking for the grand theory of everything, and might up to his dying day he was looking for it. Actually, for your listeners, Alistair McGrath, who was an atheist like yourself in the 60s, he's now a don over in Oxford. He's one of the most intelligent deep writers of Christianity in the world today, Anthony McGrath.
Actually, maybe I'll be a bishop in 10 years, you know, so never know.
Well, anyway...
What was the reason you come on in the first place? Because I've only got about 5 minutes.
I'm just thinking about your whole dismissal of the religious experience.
No, I'm not dismissing it. I am dismissing the fact that I don't believe somebody can build a boat and fit 2.5 million animals on it.
That one.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
But that's all I dismissed, wasn't it?
No, I hope so. because hope and faith are intertwined, okay?
Are they?
Actually, according to Paul, anyway.
But where does destiny come into it?
He wrote half the New Testament.
Where does destiny come into all that, by the way? Does destiny come into...
Destiny?
Yeah. Does destiny come into your theory?
That's interesting because...
Do you think our destiny is there, or do we create it?
With the benefit of hindsight, everything is 2020, okay?
Mm.
And you can look back in your life and you can say, oh, I might have ended up here with destiny.
Yeah.
But ultimately, in the here and now, I personally believe you have freedom, you know?
Yeah, you can create your own future.
That's all I'm trying to espouse there. Yeah. Well, I would say religion in itself is not true. Any religion, even the Catholic religion, which I expound, but
Philip, you sound like an intelligent man. I mean, can I ask you a question? Why do you believe so many people believe it?
Can I just finish this point and let you go?
No, don't let me go. I'm interested.
Religion in itself is not true, right?
Okay.
But the mystery to which it points to is true. In other words, it's like somebody who points at the moon, which reflects the light of the sun, but the moon itself is not the sun. The sun is the true
source
of the light. Now, obviously, religion can be true, but it's not always necessarily true.
But I mean, let me just simplify this a little bit. Early man threw rocks at the moon because they thought it
was
near.
Right. Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly.
So the point is, until we educate ourselves on a certain thing, like where God, well, from what I believe, where God came from, and the word God came from the word good, right? Which meant that anything that happened, which was good, like the harvest and the crop would grow, this has gone back thousands and thousands of years ago, pagan gods.
That's actually anthropology.
Yeah, okay, and so anything that happened that was good, they would put it down to God, because God was the sun.
Yeah, but religion has got more sophisticated as well, of course, you know?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't claim to be that kind of primordial religion. They wouldn't claim to be as basic as that now.
But most religions are the same. If you look at all the religions, particularly all the early religions, like the pagan religions and Krishna and all these...
Yeah, you're using the word pagan now. And,
but I'm just saying they all have the same story. They all had a guy who, you know, died, came back 3 days later, had 12 apostles, was born of a Virgin Mary, or well, not a Mary. So they've got that story has been used about 7 or 8 different times with different gods.
How can we prove Christ exists?
Well, we can't, actually.
My belief is he's more alive now than he was 2,000 years ago. His presence is there. As a Christian, now I don't want to get into... I'm not trying to argue with about my belief because it's too important to me to argue about it.
Wasn't there 19 historians in that area of the Middle East 2,000 years ago and not one of them mentioned Jesus Christ?
No, Josephus did, actually. Joseph, the Jewish historian, mentioned them.
Well, I read a good bit about it a while ago.
Mm. You look up Josephus, the Jewish historian, he mentioned them. And
there was a lot of prophets around at that particular time, by the way. Well, people who claimed they were prophets.
He claimed to be Christ after he died.
Yeah.
But my simple faith is, and it's a simple faith, and it's something that I don't like to be proud to have, but gifted to have. Basically, a man called Jesus died after 3 years of a missionary movement. But basically, in two words, simple, Jesus rose. Jesus rose. And that, for me, sums up the whole mystery.
And what are you, Philip, by the way? Are you just spiritual? Is that what you are?
I think people say spiritual nowadays. They don't admit to having a faith.
So what are you? If you want, can I put a label on you of some description? Are you Christian? Are you
Catholic with small c?
What? Catholic with a small c?
Yeah, that means universal Christian.
Right.
I accept other people are all on a journey. And you asked me a few minutes ago about destiny. And I believe that basically what happened in Jerusalem, or in the Holy Land, wherever you want to call it, be specifically correct, land 2,000 years ago, was something wonderful for the epiphany of humankind. The birth of humankind, and we're still dealing with this. And why did, as a Christian, I would say, look, God put through in his lot with us 2,000 years ago, and he experienced to the utmost degree what it was like to be human. And he died and he accepted death, but out of that death, D-E-A-T-H, sorry for my lisp.
Yeah.
He transformed death into a new life. And one more thing before I go. Jesus' death wasn't like anyone else, because he went onwards to reveal a new life, whereas the guy who rose from the dead the day before he was arrested, Lazarus. Lazarus came back from the dead. He came back, whereas Jesus went forward. There's two fundamental differences in that, and a huge fundamental difference. Jesus' death, he went forward to reveal a new life for the cosmos and for us, hopefully. Hopefully.
Well, listen, thanks very much indeed for that, Philip. It was interesting to listen to, right? Loads of texts, by the way, coming in. Somebody says, no, pagans don't believe in gods. Yes, they do. Yes, they did. Sorry, they don't. There's very few pagans around nowadays. The deities of Rome, Roman gods, they did. Jupiter, who else? Neptune, wasn't there? Venus, Mars. A lot of pagans didn't believe in a superior god or a supreme deity, but a lot of them did believe in some sort of subordinate gods. You know, you're wrong. They did. I'm trying to remember, was it the god of Horus? Let me see. I'm going to Google this. God of Horus. Okay, yeah. Let me see. He was an Egyptian god. Now, he had a virgin birth. He had 12 apostles. He died on Christmas Day. Or should I say was born on Christmas Day and died and came back 3 days later. It's an interesting story, isn't it? It's been used many times throughout the history of man, this particular story. The god of Krishna, of course, exactly the same, was born of a virgin birth, was born on December the 25th, 12 apostles, died, came back 3 days later. It's a familiar story. Maybe I'm wrong and you're not getting the picture here, but the story has been around for a long, long time, that particular story. And the most recent version of it is the version with Jesus Christ, and obviously the one that has become the most popular, because Christianity, of course, is the most popular religion in the world. The majority of the world's population are Christians. Yeah, thanks for that, by the way. And she's still insisting that the pagans didn't have gods. I'm telling you, they did. You need to do a little bit of research there. Roman pagans actually did have gods. They did believe in gods. Jesus, I just had a vision of Bishop Boylan with a big hat and a staff. Right. John in Limerick said Albert Einstein was deeply religious. But most scientists, 96% of scientists are not religious at all, because obviously they believe in science. And generally speaking, most religion, I suppose, contradicts science, doesn't it? Generally speaking.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.